Jesus says something strange in today's gospel. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Not once, not twice, but six times he uses that puzzling phrase, a little while. He uses the phrase another three times in similar contexts leading up to these verses. What exactly is Jesus saying here? Luther, in his sermon on these scriptures, quotes St. Gregory when he wrote, "The scriptures are a river in which a large elephant must swim, and across which a little lamb can wade on foot. For the scriptures speak clearly and plainly enough to the common people, but to the wise and the very learned, they are unattainable." It is no wonder, then, that we struggle with this phrase. And I'm sure we've all used it, right? Mom, can I have a popsicle? It's in a little while. Dad, will you come out and play with me? Yeah, in a little while. When will supper be ready? In a little while. Most times, this is a very unsatisfying answer to the one who asks, like it was for the disciples. And to be honest, many of us use this phrase to put something off, hoping the asker will forget. The Greek behind this phrase is just a single word, mikron or mikros. We should be familiar with the meaning of that word, as it sounds a lot like micro, as in microscope, or microchip. It means small. One of the main uses of the Greek word mikros in the New Testament is as an adverb in reference to being small as a person, either in stature or in status, as in the phrase that many of you have heard, the least of these. It is also used in reference to quantity, as in a little leaven. Or to time, as in our gospel verses for today, a little while. And it does seem from the context of the gospel that Jesus has this concept of time in the words that he says. But this doesn't really clear it up for us or the disciples. What does Jesus mean by a little while? It doesn't sound very precise. It isn't a timeline like we would want. It's not a date circled on the calendar like the last day of school. It's just a little while. It's something that we say when we know something is coming, but it's not quite here yet. It's a phrase of waiting. In today's gospel, Jesus says it again and again. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. The disciples are puzzled. You can almost hear their whispering. What's he talking about? We don't understand. John Chrysostom, in his sermon on these verses, wrote this. Because by reason of their not desiring his death, they quickly ran into the belief that he would not die. And then when they heard that he would die, cast about, not knowing what that little meant. And to be fair, we sometimes struggle with this also. We live in a world of tension between Good Friday and Easter, death and the resurrection, between sorrow and joy, between the pain of now and the promise of what's coming. And yet Jesus simply tells us, a little while. As we look closer at verse 20, Jesus is preparing them for the cross. You will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. They don't get it. They just don't understand it yet. But he's telling them, I am going away. Not just physically walking somewhere else, but being arrested, tried, beaten, and crucified. The world will look on and laugh. Satan will grin. Hell will be holding its breath. And the disciples, well, they'll scatter, hide, and weep. The one that they love will be taken away from them. It will feel like defeat. It will feel like darkness. It will feel like the end. And Jesus doesn't deny that. He speaks about it plainly. You will be sorrowful. Theologically speaking, we live in that time between Good Friday and Easter, between the Ascension and Christ's return, between our baptismal promise and its glorious fulfillment. We live in that little while that Jesus spoke about. It is a time of tension. Christ is risen, but the grave, I'm sorry. I wasn't planning for that. Let's try that again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And yet the graveyards are full. Christ is reigning, but the world still groans. Christ is with us, but we still long to see him face to face. And so, like the disciples, we sometimes ask, what does he mean by a little while? It's been 2,000 years. That's not a little while in our minds. But Peter reminds us in his epistle, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter 3:8. God's timeline is not our timeline. But his promises remain sure, no matter how long we have to wait. And many of us know this kind of waiting, this kind of a little while. It may be in the hospital room after surgery, waiting for our test results. Or maybe it's an answer to prayer. Or maybe it's for relief from fear or anxiety that just won't go away. And it even may be the way to be reunited with a loved one who has passed on. We know sorrow. We know waiting. We've lived through those long nights when joy seemed like just a memory. But the good news is this: our sorrow will turn into joy. Notice that Jesus doesn't say your sorrow will be replaced by joy. He says your sorrow will be turned into joy. This is more than just semantics. There is a difference. It's like the way our radish seeds in the garden sprouted and rose out of the soil to become seedlings, mimicking death and the resurrection. Or the way pain and childbirth brings forth a baby. Or the way the cross brings forth resurrection. Jesus compares it to this very thing. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into this world. Pain and joy live in the same moment. The suffering isn't erased. It's transformed and redeemed. This is God's promise. Christ didn't just take away our sorrow. He transforms it. He meets us in it. And he tells us, I know, I've been there, and I've come through it for you. We live in that in-between time, that little while. We live after the resurrection, but before the full glory of Christ's return. We live with Easter hope, but with earthly grief. The world says, get over it. Jesus says, hold on, I'm not finished yet. You may be waiting for healing, for peace, for something to change. And Jesus just says, a little while. And to be honest, that's hard for us to hear. So what do we do in that little while? We do what the disciples did. We remember Jesus' words. We hold fast to his promises. We gather at his table. And we love one another. And we wait, not with despair, but with hope. Because this little while will too pass. And the joy of seeing Jesus again, face to face, will never end. This is not some cheap optimism. This is not just hang in there advice. This is the gospel truth from the mouth of our Lord and Savior. I will see you again, and no one will take your joy from you. That joy is the resurrected Christ himself. He saw his disciples again on Easter morning in the upper room on the road to Emmaus. He sees you now in his word, in his supper, in your suffering, and in your joy. And you will see him again when he comes on the clouds with trumpets sounding, calling you by name. But until then, we wait. But we do not wait alone. Christ has not left us orphans. He is with us in the little while. And in him, even our waiting can be holy. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever your little while looks like today, whether it's full of waiting or full of weeping, remember this. Jesus has gone before you. Jesus is with you now, and Jesus is coming again. So what does Jesus mean by a little while? He means that the cross was not the end. He means that the grave does not have the final word. He means that your pain is not pointless. And he means that your joy in Christ will never be taken from you. So yes, you may weep today, but the resurrection is coming. Jesus is coming. And in a little while, your heart will rejoice. And no one can take your joy away from you. In the name of the risen Christ, amen.